Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. This is episode number 28. I'm your host Travis, along with Chris.
Hey, you ran out of co-hosts, huh? Yeah, you're stuck with Mexican again. It went from Travis and Friends to Travis and Conglomerate to Travis and the Wetback.
Hey, I never said that. That's, if that's what's implied, dear sir, I regret to inform
you. It's on the business card. I remember the old prototypes.
It was on the business card. Yes, I will give you that. Yes. So, what's been going on, man? What's going on this week?
Nothing.
All right, good night, everybody.
Okay, bye. let's see. Some interesting movie news.
Movie news, okay.
Yeah. Did you ever play the game Rampage?
Yes.
Loved Rampage.
Ah, I love that game, yes.
Midway, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Midway, yeah. I had the GameCube, like Midway Classics Volume 82, and Rampage was on it.
All right, hipster. I have the cartridge, okay, from Nintendo. All right? I don't have these little discs re-released. So you want to play that game now? All right.
I'm outgunned. I'm not even going to try. But they just announced a few days ago they're intending on making a live-action movie of Rampage.
Which, for those of you who don't know, is basically all you did is picked up one of three monsters. You just climbed buildings and
broke a lot of
smashed
stuff.
Them.
You broke a lot of stuff.
It's basically, yeah, it was a huge inspiration for Wreck-It Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Starring Dwayne Johnson.
Well, what isn't starring Dwayne Johnson nowadays?
What
day don't you wake up and hear news that he's starring in a new movie coming out pretty soon?
Yeah, at this point, like, I'm expecting him to be the next Samuel L. Jackson. Like, if you need a Samoan, he's the guy. You remember the Samoan in every movie? Right. That's that guy.
That's him. Yeah. So
what do you think,
man,
about that?
Yeah, dude. I don't know specifically about Rampage being a movie per se, but
you think he's like the one human that's gonna break out a window and go, "Bitch, ain't nobody gonna mess up my building," and start killing all the monsters like with his bare hands?
Yeah. Well, he's
rock bottom.
He's getting big enough to be a freaking monster nowadays, so... I don't know, man.
You see him in a kaiju suit?
Right. That would be funny. Yeah, forget CGI. Forget all the visual effects bullshit.
Like old school showbiz, him in a costume.
Little miniature buildings. Yeah, definitely. Go.
Magic wand, make my Johnson grow.
Whoa, wait a minute. That's
Dwayne Johnson.
That's a different movie, my friend.
Oh.
That's the this ain't Rampage. I'm not sure trying to explain that one. But
don't worry about it. You get my drift.
Yes. So, man, with that being said, dude, we've seen a big evolution of Dwayne Johnson as an actor, performer. You know, we're huge wrestling fans. You can catch us on Houston Wrestling Radio every week.
Yeah, that'll make Abel happy. Yeah. Cheap plug.
Yeah, whatever. Screw him. But, you know, we've been lifetime wrestling fans and things like that. And, of course, The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson, he started off as a wrestler.
The trail blazing, eyebrow raising, jabroni beating, wow, pie eating, heart stomping, elbow dropping, people's champ, The Rock.
Third generation.
Yeah, the first ever third generation wrestler. His father was a wrestler. His grandfather was a wrestler, and he was they built him as, you know, big blue chipper, you know, happy go lucky type guy, you know. Mm-hmm. But he really, once he went bad or heel or whatever you want to call it, that's when he came out of a shell, and you can start seeing personality,
charisma,
and you can see it.
Some of the traits that could separate him from just an average actor.
Yeah.
Let alone an average wrestler.
Oh, yeah. Average wrestler. Yeah, that's beside the point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But just, you could see he's got something there, and it probably wouldn't be too long before he starts getting roles, you know, TV appearances, movies. We didn't know at the time for sure, but we had
a glimmer. We just didn't know how bright.
It wouldn't. Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't surprise any of us.
Yeah.
So, that being said, he was on fire for like 2 or 3 years in the wrestling scene. And then about 1999, I think that's when, due to being on USA Network with WWF at the time,
the wrestling with the pandas.
They started, there's always, they do favors for each other. You know, you star on this show, let's get some ratings for this show, let's bring you over here. Mm-hmm. Case in point, there was just a few shows that he did like one-off appearances on. There was like a, I don't know if you remember the TV show for The Net. It was a TV show based on the old Sandra Bullock movie in the 90s.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember the TV show. He did an episode of that. So there's that. And then an episode of DAG, which I never even seen that show. But there's two more appearances he did. One was for That 70s Show.
I loved that appearance. That's probably my favorite episode.
And not only that, it was more of a comedic role, which, again, it kind of exhumes his personality and everything. And plus, that role, he was playing his dad.
Yeah. So you could tell he was having a good time pretending to be his old man.
Yeah.
Acting himself, though, because he, in the when they had the backstage meet with Red and Foreman backstage with Rocky Johnson, he's like, yeah, I've got a son. One day he's going to be the most electrifying man in sports. It's like, if you could tell that he was just...
Very tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. They knew what they were doing. There was one other thing. It was for Star Trek Voyager, which... I'm not a big Trekker, so I never watched the show.
I heard that's nowhere near the best Star Trek
movie.
If it's not Next Generation, even
from Star Trek fans, I've heard that's not the best of the best. So, but there was one off episode he did on that, and that was like the first like big makeup role that he did, the big prosthetics and everything. And he's some kind of a gladiator fighter. Mm-hmm. I don't know the specifics of it, but
unless Samoan or just alien, so you never know.
They might be alien, the Samoans.
Yeah,
they always hang out in the same place, and they just kind of take over wherever they go, right?
Yeah, so, they hit people in the head, and they just act like nothing happened.
Yeah, headbutts don't hurt them. Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of like where he started, what would you say, dabbing his toes in the water a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of, you know, testing that out.
I think the first time he jumped in the pool, so to speak, was Saturday Night Live?
Yes, actually, yeah. He was... That's he's gone on to do Saturday Night Live, I think four times. Yeah.
So.
And the first one was around in 2000, and I think that one was what really started to open people's eyes to who the Rock. Yeah. No, I don't think anybody knew who Dwayne Johnson was at the time.
Yeah,
but at that time he was still this the Rock.
Well, because back then in the late 90s, early 2000s, wrestling was everywhere.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Steve Austin, Triple H, Mankind. The whole competition with the Rival World Championship Wrestling, like in that era where like Attitude and Extreme and over the top and in your face,
you could say The Rock was the right place at the right time.
Oh yeah,
but he could have been in the worst wrestling era around, and I think he still would have
found a way out.
Oh, definitely,
yeah.
But the fact that there were so many stars in that era, and he was able to overcome all them, definitely says a lot for him. But I remember there there was his first monologue. It was going back to the wrestling thing. There was I think Triple H and Mankind
in the crowd,
and they kind of did a thing. He was in that bit with Chris Kattan when he was the experimental monkey and everything. And there was a couple of good bits in that episode, and that was a standout episode for that year. And then I believe it was the next one that he did a few years later, that's when we got Barack Obama, where it was the mashup between the Hulk
and the president
and Barack Obama, which was very cleverly done. I mean, plus it was, now if he was to do it nowadays, I mean, it would be even more impressive because he's kind of grown
just a titch,
in size over the years. But we'll get that here in just a minute. But and I believe that was his segue into the movie world.
Yeah.
Once you hit it on Saturday Night Live or in just NBC or whatever, and he gets all the
millions. They saw his range.
Yeah.
He was given opportunities.
Yeah, definitely. And it would be maybe another year or so. He got a bit role in the movie Mummy Returns.
Oh yeah.
And. That was... did you see that movie, Mummy Returns?
Yes. Well, yes. I had to say it that way. I don't remember most of the sequel. I just remember the first 10 minutes of the origin explanation of how the Scorpion King came to be. And then I remember the last, 15 minutes where The Rock was actually, CGI'd into a scorpion. And was, crawling around.
Talk about...
From best to worst.
Right, yeah. No,
that was... he was literally in the best and the worst part of the movie.
How do you do that? But yeah, that was that intro was a, I mean, it was a good telling story of him. It like it humanized him as a character, and you saw the just what he was doing, and then you see him as this. Like, I don't know.
He's like Skylander reject.
Very good. Yes, yes, very good.
Like, that's not going to fit in my Pokeball. This one. This one looks. Ugh. Yeah.
But that's all it took, really. He only had like one line in the movie. Do you know what it is?
I don't remember.
A Kunte something. I don't know what it was. It was the.
Well, when he was in a warrior mode about to start the fight? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for her. Which was funny because that leads into his own leading role in his own spin-off movie of that one character because the intro was so good. He was so good in that little opening segment. I would hope they didn't base on the ending. But this one, let's talk about this for a second. The Scorpion King, it came out in 2002, starred him, Michael Clarke Duncan. I believe Kelly Hugh was in it as well, too. It was good for him as an actor because it was his first leading role, you know? Yeah. And how many, you know, first-time actors can say they just... from a bit role, they got their own movie, right?
Yeah.
But this one, not to kind of spend too much time on this one movie, but it's kind of weird because especially if you go off the character from the last movie, mm-hmm. doesn't speak English, he's very serious, and then we get into Scorpion King,
and he apparently at the end of the sequel, Mummy Returns, he's a villain.
Yeah.
So then they transfer over to Scorpion King, where they build up the beginning part where he was the hero, he was the leader fighting for his people.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was hard we in the wanted beginning that, we to wanted, forget the last part.
We wanted the hard-ass Scorpion King character. Well, at least I did. Yeah. That's what I wanted to see when I went to go see Scorpion King. But there was some, you know, big tongue-in-cheek humor and just, mm-hmm. You know, silly humor for the most part, or for some parts of it. They speak English, of course, that makes it easier for, you know, people mm-hmm. watching the movie. But what would you think of the Scorpion King?
It doesn't matter what you think!
At the time, I remember, because I haven't seen that movie in over a decade.
No one has. No one else has either. It's okay.
At the time, I remember enjoying it. I remember liking his acting, his humor. I remember it broke the record of box office debut for that weekend of that month of the year, because it came out like in a February or in a March, like in the beginning, like an off season,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it like gangbusters.
And opening. Again, he had I think at that point his fan base. Was more or less the wrestling.
Oh yeah,
we're coming out to his movies and just supporting him through that. But I think that, again, getting that cross appeal
mm-hmm.
was kicking in. It was still in the early processes, but we were certainly seeing that. And that led into a couple other movies around that same time frame. This one that coming out next, The Rundown, which I really enjoyed that movie. That was fun. It was kind of more of an action movie, but I don't want to say action comedy. I think it was more action. It was straight up action. But that one had him, Sean William Scott, as his little sidekick buddy, whatever. And then Christopher Walken as the villain. Dude.
Anything with Christopher Walken, you have to give a chance.
Yeah, no kidding, right? but again, that's when we started to see him being an action star.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, okay. I think that's when people started saying, well, no, I think going back to Scorpion King, I think that was like people were saying he's the next action hero.
Yeah.
He's, you know, we had him in the 80s and 90s. It's been a while since we actually had an action star. Here's this guy, The Rock.
Fresh.
Right.
But not from obscurity, because he had a fan base already before
right.
he was
exactly,
in his
exactly.
movie.
Yeah. Which does nothing but help numbers sell. Yeah. So,
if The Rundown didn't solidify it, then the next one, which is another... Between Rundown and Walking Tall, those are maybe my two top favorite Rock movies that he's done, because for me, they hold up over time a lot.
Oh, definitely. I definitely agree with that, and... I really enjoy Walking Tall.
Mm-hmm.
That was, of course, you know, based on a true story, a remake of a classic movie as well, mm-hmm. too. But this was the first time, and we'll get to this here later on, this is the first time that he's actually played a character based on a real person. And
not only that, Mummy Return, Scorpion King, it was more like, it was not sci-fi, but it was... on the further end of realism.
Right, right.
And then Walking Tall, there was a lot of really good action scenes, him not wanting to touch a gun and mm-hmm, him hitting everything in his sights. But again, there was a lot of humor in it, which came across really well between him and Sean William Scott. Walking Tall, for me, even though there is a lot of action, this is the first movie where I saw The Rock's serious side.
Right, right, right.
And man, I was not expecting that. There's a difference between seeing The Rock as a heel in the wrestling ring and Dwayne Johnson acting, portraying someone serious on the movie screen. It's completely different.
Dude, that scene in the courtroom when he's giving the speech to the jurors and then he like rips open his shirt, he's got all the bruises and
the
marks.
Scars and talking to the jury, and the judge is like, "You didn't see any of that?
Yeah.
God, that's off the record. You motherfucker.
That's a powerful scene. Yeah. But and of course, that's based off of, like,
real events. Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that stands alone by itself. But him as that character, I think that was the first time, like you said, is a different side of him. Still action oriented, but
something very meaningful.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
And that's where we're starting to see, okay, this guy, he can
more
act.
Range, more depth to his range.
Yeah. Because real quick, you know, we as wrestling fans, we you hear a wrestler going into movies and we get flashbacks of Hogan. you know,
Mr. Nanny,
Suburban Commando,
No Holds Barred.
Yeah, okay.
Not like I'm hating on Noah's Barter.
I was like, Mr. Nanny. I was about to say, wait a minute.
You know.
What's that smell? Dookie.
But if Hogan's acting career, it was very... What's the word I'm looking for?
Hogan's acting career reflected Hogan's wrestling character, where it appealed to the kids. Say your vitamins, eat your prayers. Mr. Nanny was more of him being childish because he was in roles that would play primarily for children.
Family friendly.
Yeah, so that was... So not a knock to Terry Bollea, Hulk Hogan. He did good for his character because that's what his character is done in the ring. So he knows how to portray himself for kids.
Right.
Dwayne was for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get further down the list, but when you start seeing him getting out of his, not necessarily comfort zone, but what other people are comfortable seeing him in.
Right.
With attitude, especially in the ring with humor, like Know Your Role Boulevard, Jabroni Drive, pie eating, all that stuff. From that to Walking Tall, you would never think The Rock would be able to pull off.
Yeah. And especially because these early roles, he was still a wrestler. That's all he... I think mainstream, he was still just a wrestler trying to act.
Was this... after Walking Tall, was this where he decided to just stop wrestling?
I was about to get to that because during these first few movies, if you looked at the credits of the movie, it was still Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
And there is a reason for that. The main reason, more of a kind of, a, I guess you want to say legality issue, but at that time, The Rock was still intellectual property of Vince McMahon, WWE.
Yeah.
So what the catch between all that for both parties involved was, he would be able to use The Rock for his marquee value.
That way he could get eyeballs that watched them in the movies. And, hey, he's a wrestler. Watch this wrestling. Right.
And Vince McMahon, if you notice on all these movies, Vince McMahon is listed as executive producer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Vince McMahon in any movie, if you go back and look at any movie that it says Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you'll see Vince McMahon as executive producer on those movies. And that was just the... You know, the payoff between both ends. You know,
and even then, it would kind of make sense for McMahon to do that because you wouldn't want to put a character on the screen that is still prominent on your television show in anything, even if it's a movie, that would cause his credibility for whatever reason on Vince McMahon's television show to suffer or sink because of it. You know? I think if you would have had Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I know we're fast-forwarding a little bit, like doing Twinkle Twinkle... from Be Cool, before, while he was still wrestling at that time,
it would be weird. It would be weird. Yeah. But speaking of that, the Rundown came out around 2003. Walking Talk 2004. That was pretty much the end of his wrestling career. WrestleMania 19, but 2003-19. That was his last match, pretty much for his regular scheduling thing. Mm-hmm. And then that's when he kind of started moving into other movies. Of course, you're not going to have the best track record.
Everyone's got a flaw.
Everybody's got a flop. And this flop that he had was Doom.
Oh. You being a gamer, did you ever play Doom?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever watch the movie Doom?
No.
Did the trailers scare you enough to not go watch it?
Yes.
Okay. So that pretty much answers my question, because I was going to ask you, as a player of Doom, did the movie... Did the movie serve well to the game or pay a good tribute to the game? But if the trailer alone scared you from watching it...
Let me step back a second. Because I every once in a while, it would come on TV. And I would flip it. So I watched parts of it. And the parts that I saw, I didn't like. So because they did try to, emulate or capture...
Incorporate the first-person shooter.
The sound effects of the doors opening, things like that. But... Still, some things, if you do a literal translation from a video game to a movie, it's not going to work right all the time. Yeah. So, I think that was maybe the biggest downfall, other than the writing, the directing, the editing, the plot.
The cast.
The cast. the makeup, the wardrobe.
The game.
The marketing. Well, hey, let's... The movie. But yeah, let's move past the Doom movie. How appropriate a title was that anyways?
No, the appropriate title would have been Flop.
and going back to Dwayne himself, he's admitted that that's a flop. I mean, he's like, that's a failure. I did it. I had to do it. There it is.
There's a, for anybody that doesn't understand this, there's a Hall of Fame speech where Dwayne's inducting his father and his grandfather, I think. They were both inducted the same year, WrestleMania
20-something-4.
And he's like, yeah, he made an opening monologue. He's like, yeah, I read the news that they were torturing soldiers. They locked them up in a room and they were forcing them to watch. They had copies of The Marine starring John Cena. Everybody laughed at it. And then Dwayne's like, nah, man, don't sweat it. Everybody has their moments. I was in Doom.
Yeah.
So if he can openly admit that in front of his core audience,
then
he can let that one go.
Yeah. His core audience, his co-workers, his friends, his family. Yeah.
And by the way, I made Doom. Okay? I did. No, sir, did you ever see Doom? Well, you probably didn't. And it's okay, because nobody else did either. I promise it's fine.
Yeah, moving past that. That was a weird time frame for The Rock. That was a transition... From his early action movie stuff, he started slimming down a little bit, and he started taking different roles. And I don't want to say what I consider like the Disney era of his career, but he would star in more family friendly movies, or just different oddball movies that weren't action oriented. You just mentioned it a few minutes ago. Twinkle, twinkle.
Be cool, yeah.
Be cool.
And I know that's Vince Vaughn that made that line, and not the Rock. Right. But that's the funniest part I remember from the entire thing. Other than The Rock acting, you know, flaming.
Yeah, and let's go back to that, because his character was a gay character. And I think at that time, you know, going back to 2005, that was a different role for him, for sure. Because at that point, we'd have seen him in action movies.
I would think, for what we've seen on television, both in the ring and on screen, I think that would be out of his comfort zone. Playing someone gay.
Yeah, I can't speak for him, but maybe so, you know. But he knocked it out of the park with the aluminum bat. And I think that even opened up even more eyes to what he could do. He's like, oh, he's not all action.
He doesn't have to. He can be just as good supporting as he is.
Yeah, leading. Yeah, definitely.
I bought a brand new suit. I bought new shiny red boots. I got my new headshots done. I even prepared a monologue from Bring It On.
Well, then do it.
You guys have to go to Nationals. What is this, hush money? We don't need you. Why are you so mean? I'm just trying to be strong for my squad. And I'm trying to make it right. You want to make it right? Then when you go to Nationals, bring it. Oh, bring it. Don't worry. I never do. Scene.
Wow. And again, going back to this time frame, this next few years, it was just... there were some dramas. There was the Gridiron Gang.
I love Gridiron Gang.
I think I saw that once, but I don't remember that much about
it. I'm a huge sports movie buff. Like, if it comes out, I'll give anything a shot. Gridiron Gang was The Rock taking over a school, coaching a school of like a juvenile jail.
And, misguided urban youths.
They had white people in there. There were he used football to actually teach him discipline and respect and honor and teamwork and camaraderie. And he thought that he was doing such a good job that he wanted to try to get them in a league with high schools so that they can prove their mettle, that this program works, that there's still an opportunity for kids that have made mistakes. It's not the end of the world. And that was another side, like the Walking Tall, where it wasn't The Rock's haha funny. This was him being more direct, more serious, sending a message, and it came across really well. I hate to say it, but he actually made his co-star Exhibit look good in the process, which is not something you can do.
And that's something nobody said ever. That's a Pop Culture Rewind exclusive. You heard it here first.
You take that to the bank, my man.
Monopoly Bank.
Yeah, I still own that movie. I still watch it from time to time. It's as far as sports movies go, it's up there.
Yeah, and that's, again, I think that you could probably say Walking Tall was his first drama movie, but I think Gridiron Gang might have been his straight, because Walking Tall still had action in it.
Dude, the part where the character's mom's in the hospital and all the kids like get a thing of flowers for him and a card, and then the one rebel kid that like The Rock had the most trouble with said that he was to dedicate his next touchdown to his mom. You see him walking out there crying, and then like when the game's on and he scores a touchdown, man, if you're really into the movie, it's heavy, man. It's freaking heavy.
It hit you, huh?
Oh yeah, it hit me hard. Yeah.
All right. So next couple of years, we got some more comedies coming out. The Game Plan.
That's the other side of football.
Yeah, yeah. We go from Gridiron Games to the game plan.
Oh Lord, that's like Disney 101.
Yeah,
big hulking star, innocent, cute looking girl with a flaw, which in this case was the curly hair, and hijinks ensue.
He's allergic to cinnamon.
The lesson is portrayed to the child. The child learns the lesson, and together they frolic and make the best of their situation. That's every Disney movie,
and that explains
that involves humans.
That's the game plan.
And that's the game plan. You know, I liked it. I'm not gonna knock it. It was a fun movie, but it's a good movie. It's just not one that I would see that often. Like it, I don't.
Yeah,
because it's
you see it once is enough. Unless you
kids. If you don't have kids, if you're alone, at the time that came out.
If you don't have kids and you're at home and you're watching it more than once,
you got a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go get yourself
at the time that came out, I was dating someone. She had a kid. All
right.
So that's why I liked it and I watched it a few times with her. And now that I'm kidless, to hell with Game Plan.
Well, there's a couple other family ones he did. Let's skip around a couple of years here. Race to Witch Mountain. I never really saw that one.
It never caught my attention.
The only thing I know about it is because everybody makes the little meme of him in the
taxi cab.
In the taxi cab. You've seen the meme.
Yeah.
Where he, yeah. It's,
and it makes the face like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. There was that. The Tooth Fairy. I think that's the most infamous one that he's done.
As Disney movies, I kind of like the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, for God. What? Defend yourself.
Again, if you're growing up with if you're with a kid, you can watch it a couple of times and get away with it, like telling, "Hey, it's a Tooth Fairy." When the guy is watching it because it's The Rock, uh-huh. It's kind of funny. Uh-huh. But yeah, again, no more kid to hell with Tooth Fairy. He's wearing a freaking tutu with a hockey stick
with wings.
Yeah, the wings. He knocks kids' teeth out with the hockey stick and trades it for coin. Yeah. Tooth Fairy. Dun, dun, dun.
In that same time frame, he did a couple of the bit roles. He did a fantastic bit role on Reno 911 Miami.
That was in like the first 10 minutes, and that's all I remember from that movie.
Right? Me too, right? All right.
We can do it. We're going to make it. Boom.
Rick Smith. SWAT. They call me the Condor. I'm sorry I'm late to the barbecue. I was on a mission when I got the call. Let me ask you a question, people. What's the difference between bravery and courage?
Oh, I know. Bravery is something that you do. Sorry.
Bravery is when you do something dangerous and you're not even scared. Courage is when you're smart enough to know you should be scared, but you do it anyway.
Oh.
You will not fail. I will not allow you to fail. Under my watch, I will not allow you to fail. As God, as my witness, we will not fail. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yeah. Yes.
It's okay, I know what I'm doing. I know the thing is out of the thing. This can come out, this stays like this. Okay. Are you with me?
Yes!
Are you with me?
Yes!
Help! Okay, the thing. Okay, that came out now for real.
Wait. It's okay, I got 10 seconds with these sons of bitches. I got them.
Wait a second.
No, wait.
Oh, fuck.
Hey, that was a good speech, by the way.
Oh, yeah. What my 10 seconds didn't do it nowhere near justice.
Again, this going back to he enhances the movies that he's in.
Yeah.
Case in point, not that it needed enhancing or anything, but Get Smart.
Oh,
that
my
was,
God.
That movie by itself was just hilarious.
That cast was chosen perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And everybody there from...
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell's
Anne Hathaway.
Steve Carell, Anne Hathaway.
Man, she was.
Was it Mark Henry, one of the wrestlers, one of the villains?
No.
Or one of the bodyguards?
It was.
I'm thinking someone big and black. I don't know why I said Mark Henry, but I know it's somebody bigger than.
They did have a wrestler in there. Was it Great Khali? He was in
there. Great Khali, you're right. Yeah. I don't know what his real name is. I'm pretty sure even he doesn't know what his real name is.
If we did know, we can't even say it anyway. So.
Nahasa Pima Pavilion.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
You did good job. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, he did that. There was another bit role in a movie called The Other Guys.
Oh! Again, that movie's really good. But freaking Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock as these, like,
just
cocky...
them two. Look.
I want if Mummy Returns got a Scorpion King, then
those two guys.
Then we need, like, the buddy spinoff of, like, Samuel L. Jackson in his prime. Because he's in every other movie, apparently.
Right.
With the passing the torch to the next Samoan is going to be in every movie. Dwayne Johnson.
Samuel Jackson and Dwayne Johnson. Every demographic right there. Yeah. We got you covered.
Guys, I'm going to say something right now. It's about a man who came from Austria with a dream.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Let me finish. He became a champion and then a movie star.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
God damn it, let me finish. They ruined the story. They ruined the story.
All right.
The point is, we couldn't do our job if it weren't for you guys doing all the paperwork, answering the phones, all that stupid shit that we don't like to do.
All the gunfights, all the car chases, all the sex we don't want to have with women, but we have to all do to what you guys do. Thank you.
And we do it again and again.
Hey, you shut your face. If we want to hear you talk, I will shove my arm up your ass and work your mouth like a puppet. You hear me? You hear me? Cash bar.
Yeah. Peace out, bitches.
Whew, okay. So after this little time frame, these few years, I think he actually he got a new agent, I think. He said he wanted to maybe change things up, get more intense, get more serious, back into, you know.
Wasn't this the time where his ex-wife became the agent?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if she's the agent now or she was and she and that, ditched her.
Yeah, but I remember a time where
she was,
being a wrestling fan, knowing that he wound up having his ex-wife become his new agent, and the first thing she said was, you need to get your wrestling fans back.
Yeah.
You know, so we started seeing more co-promotion with The Rock and the World Wrestling Entertainment.
Because it's been a while.
It had been a while.
Long time.
You know, and I think after Doom, we started getting the impression of, well, if this stuff doesn't get my attention, I'm not going to watch it. Regardless if I liked him 15 years ago in the ring.
Yeah. But before we get into this last little segment over here of his movies, there's one noticeable thing about The Rock, and that's you can't help but miss it. He's got tattoos. He's always had the Brahma Bull That's what he's known. That was his nickname.
Yeah.
That was his moniker in wrestling was the Brahmin Bull. He's known for that tattoo, along with the people's eyebrow. I think he ditched that altogether, though. But the tattoo on the right arm. But they would, kind of put makeup or whatever, covered up, But then he went out and went back to his heritage. Back around 2003, he traveled back to Hawaii, and that's when he got that big Samoan tattoo on his left pec shoulder area. And I think his early movies, they did try to, cover that up as well, too, with makeup and, whatever. But I don't know if you noticed, but quite a few movies, actually, they don't cover that up anymore. In all his movies. Like, all his character always has that tattoo, which, still, to this day, that bothers me that they never covered
it
up.
And it's weird, because it was just small. It was just that one circle part. And then as the years went on, it was like a rash that just started taking over his chest and arm and boob.
Yeah. now, on that, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but that's a Samoan tradition, to have those tattoos on there. It took a total of 60 hours and was completed in 3 sessions, 20 hours each. The tattoo has 3 basic meanings. 1 is having a family, 2 protecting his family, and 3 a warrior spirit. So I know, like, all Samoans, I guess they have like different meanings behind their tattoos, but that's the meaning behind those tattoos that he has. So, and again, like you said, man, it started off kind of small on the shoulder chest area, and it's grown.
Yeah.
But with that, getting past all the family-friendly stuff, the comedy stuff, now we're going to get back into the action.
And back to his roots.
This part of his career, I think this is really, really took off. And now he's, I think, bona fide. I think he is legit now at this point.
I think this was the time where we needed an action guy.
Yeah.
Like, the pickings were starting to get a little slim for a while as far as that. So he came back at just the right time.
Dude, I saw his first movie back. It was Faster. He played a wheelman. He was just recently out of jail, I believe. I saw it the first time it came out 5 years ago. I haven't really seen it since, but I'm too busy watching his other movies in the meantime because there's so freaking many of them. But I just remember, I think they had Billy Bob Thornton in that one as well, too. But that was more of a we're starting to get a grittier side of his movies, of The Rock as a character. Mm-hmm. And again, this kind of elevated him even more, more intense. I think intense, that's the word I'm looking for this next phase, this of what he's in right now.
Yeah.
So these last 5 years, he's just been on a roll. Rock and roll.
Yeah.
But Faster was like the first one. And it wasn't until the following year, the movie called Fast Five came out.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the Fast Five, of course, the big Fast and Furious franchise. We talked about it on one episode.
Fast and Furious
Medley.
Medley,
yeah. if you haven't heard it yet, go back and check it out. It's pretty cool. But this one was the introduction of Hobbs. And this character was created for this franchise because the star of the franchise, Vin Diesel, he got bombarded constantly from his fans that they wanted to see Vin Diesel versus Dwayne Johnson in a movie.
Yeah.
And that's all we got.
And it didn't disappoint, man.
Yeah.
Now I want to see them in the ring.
Yeah, right? but yeah, him as Hobbs, I think that was his first. I mean, because we've had a few movies since then in that franchise with him in that character. And that's his first, I think, franchise success, I think. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. You can't say that he's the star of the movie or he carries the movies, but he enhances the movies. You look forward to seeing what's going to happen with him.
Yeah.
He gets a little carried away with what they do with him sometimes. But in Fast Five, the first one, his first appearance in Fast Five, it wasn't over the top. It was just intense. I think
turned up to 12.
I'd say basically. He's turned up to 11 on this one. The next ones, it's like turned up to like 15 and 20. But from there, we have a Snitch. That came out, John Bernthal.
I loved Snitch.
That was
powerful.
Yeah, yeah. And again, going back to him just playing a normal dude, jacked up, but a normal dude,
normal life, truck driver. Yeah. You know, trying to find, being a snitch for the government so he can try to prove that his son's son's innocent. Not his son's innocence, but
he was going to write
his family wasn't well without him back in it, and for him to be out of jail and to lower his prison time, he became a snitch for the government to find
the cartel where
the drugs and stuff were from.
He was basically doing this work to get his son out of jail.
Yeah,
pretty much. So it was a powerful movie. And just this, him and John Bernthal. If you don't know who John Bernthal is.
Shane from The Walking Dead, soon to be the Punisher in the Daredevil series.
Dude, that's gonna be
sick.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
The only drawback of that is I would have loved to have seen Punisher in like the Spider-Man movie. Him, Bernthal, in the Spider-Man movie.
Hey, it's Marvel.
Yeah.
You never know. Never say never.
Yeah. Well, let him get his feet wet in Daredevil, and if he pulls it off, man, I'd love to see it.
Yeah. And then the same year, he had, four or five movies in 1 year. 2013 was the year of The Rock.
Yeah.
Because he had Snitch, he had Pain and Gain, a Michael Bay flick, which was another based on a true story movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was a crazy role for him, too, because he was, like, coked out all the time in the movie.
That was a crazy movie, period. It was oh, man. I just saw Mark Wahlberg, Dwayne Johnson, Anthony Mackie. I'm like, all right, the commercials that were showing, they were all funny. And I was like, okay, comedy movie. Can't wait to see it. And I'm enjoying it 45 minutes in. Then they start cutting people up. I was like, what the hell am I watching? Oh, man, it just made it so awkward. God.
Or bad, whichever. Yeah. So we had that movie that came out. Now we got him jumping onto another established franchise, G.I. Joe, Retaliation. Man.
So much better than the first one. Then again, the first one set the bar pretty low, like damn near dug it under the ground so you could literally just walk over it.
It was definitely a different flick from the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like the story was a little bit sci-fi-ish. Yet they made it serious enough, and the characters in the movie, especially Dwayne Johnson, sold the seriousness in the movie to make me think that it was a big deal.
And again, going back to what I said a few minutes ago, intensity.
Yeah.
All his roles that he has now, it's all intense.
I know for a fact, watching the first G.I. Joe a couple of times and being in possession of it, that's the one thing that movie missed. Not Dwayne Johnson. Intensity in general.
Yeah.
Make it seem like it's a viable threat. Make it seem like this is something I need to care about.
Yeah.
And
the first one was just a joke of itself, I think.
It felt like a parody of all the other movies that were trying to just make money off its franchise.
Yeah.
This one felt legitimately like a blockbuster movie it hasn't been that long, but it holds up for me. I still watch it. I like it. Retaliation's really good.
Yeah. And it's due to The Rock, really. I mean,
Snake Eyes.
No, don't get me wrong.
And Lady J's not bad to look at.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. old Brenda. Yeah, red dress and all. So no, but the that movie. That's a totally different movie from the first one, I think.
Yeah.
In the first movie, you either hate it or you're like some people watches it every single day. I won't name names, but there's that movie. Also, again in 2013. Fast 6, the sequel to Fast 5, obviously. And again, this is where we're talking about his character cranked up to like 15. He's like throwing people around literally in rooms and he's still good. I mean, his character in that movie is still good, but it was just a little too much, I think, for me.
Not to mention between 2011 and 2013 when all these movies came out, he went back to wrestling.
Yes.
So he was like, he wrestled John Cena at WrestleMania 28, and then he wrestled John Cena again at WrestleMania 29, which halfway through that match, some tissue in his
abdomen
tore open, and his like intestines were bleh.
Or basically just hanging inside.
Hanging inside of him, and he still finished the match, which actually delayed his filming of Hercules.
Ah, yes.
That was the next movie during the filming. Even though these were being released, he was still like on schedule to record more. And that's a huge undertaking to take, regardless if he got injured or not. Being able to fit the time, film, promote the film, and then work training while you're promoting and acting, and then actually being on the Super Bowl of any wrestling show, and being at your best.
Now let's talk about this for a second, because you just mentioned it, that you went back to wrestling, and at this point it's been 8-9 years at this point.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of slack. That was the big storyline with him and John Cena, which, for better or worse, if you like it or hate it, John Cena is the face of the company. Really, like, he's this generation's Hogan, I guess.
Not only that, in a sick way, he's the one to thank in a pretty decent part for The Rock coming back, because Cena put it out there. It's like, hey, you know, you guys love The Rock. Where the hell is he?
Yeah.
You know, I'm over here busting my ass every week, 4 days a week, to the people that are paying tickets to come see the show that made him.
Yeah.
And I'm still here when he wants to just come back and just pop in for a cup of coffee to sell extra tickets of his movie.
Yeah.
And then he just turns his back, you know? So
yeah.
That was legitimate heat, you know? And the first day The Rock came back, that he said he was never going to leave, the first thing he mentioned after that is like, I'm here to face-to-face with this white boy that thinks I don't deserve what I got.
Yeah.
You know, and oh, that right off the bat, set the tone for not only him bridging the gap between his wrestling fans and his movie fans, but him actually putting the dedication to both.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Man,
it was refreshing to see him on TV again.
Yeah.
In a wrestling ring.
And as fans, just like the movie scene needed an action star to come back, like needed an action star, we needed him back.
You know why? Wrestling. Because
weird
he was,
that works out.
It was weird because I remember this. Think about this when he came back. We might lose a couple of people when I'm talking about this, but you know, over the time WWE has they changed. They went a little more not kid friendly, but family friendly, PG rating.
Mm-hmm.
But back when Rock was wrestling, it was more attitude. It was more
18 and older.
18
cover your ears, ear muff for the little ones.
18 to 34 demographics, you know, in full force. That's the era that he came from.
Yeah.
And when he came back, I think he still had that mindset. So his intensity was like way up here, and everybody else is like way down here.
And we needed it, you know? Like, hey, I forgot we used to watch guys like this on the show.
And he like towered over people, too. He's like so much bigger. That was one thing. I mentioned this earlier in the show that when he started doing like Be Cool and Gridiron Gang.
He was like still shaped like The Rock. Now he's like a mountain.
Not only that, he'd actually lost weight. He'd gotten skinnier. And if you go back and look at some pictures of him from like the Tooth Fairy, and those like that, he was a little bit bigger as Scorpion King. And then, you know,
by 2002, when he lost to Brock Lesnar, he had slimmed down. That was like the thinnest he had ever been.
Like, I think on movies like Southland Tales, Be Cool, Gridiron Gang, The Game Plan, I think all those, he was his skinniest, I think, or slimmest, and then when he back, I think Faster was the first movie when I really noticed, holy shit, I mean, this guy's, you know, steroids or something?
But he was still covered for the most part, clothing-wise.
Yeah.
You see him in Fast Five with those huge-ass, like, nuke guns for arms.
Not only that, as wrestling fans, when you come back in the wrestling match, you see him all...
Oh, yeah, the tights, he looked... Honestly, as a fan, it took me a while to get used to the fact that The Rock was bigger than he was.
Yes.
Because it was so out of place, dude.
Yeah.
So out of place.
Because when he was a wrestler, his build was... He was built as a wrestler.
Yeah.
When he came back, I think he's more built as muscular. Like, it wasn't... You know, does that
make sense? It was... He looked like... when growing up in wrestling and training for wrestling and being a wrestler, it's about endurance. Being able to last.
Yeah.
When you're in a movie, you got all the time in the world to get the right shot.
Right.
So it doesn't hurt if you're like extra 20 pounds of muscle mass, more definition, more cut, more curves, more meat.
Ask Arnold. Ask Stallone. Ask, you know, anybody, you know. So, but anyway, those are a few observations around that time frame that I think it's worth noteworthy of the time frame.
Yeah.
But, 2013, there was also a movie called Empire State that came out. I just caught that a couple nights ago on Netflix. I think it was like a direct-to-DVD thing. It wasn't like a big major... But that was another true story movie based in 1982 Bronx. So it's got a good... Like, it's got a neat feel to it, you know, because it's the retro, you know, style. And the opening is really cool. It's like got news footage and things like that. So it's got Emma Roberts, Liam Hemsworth.
Okay.
So yeah, it's Got a kind of well-rounded cast, but not it's not a great movie. But if you, it's on Netflix, go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But that was 2013, very busy year for him. Mm-hmm. So now we get to more of his current stuff. Hercules, that came out in 2014. I think that was his only big movie that he had in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't catch that one yet.
I haven't caught it yet either. There's certain movies just by the time where the movies set. Like, I'm not the biggest, like, Roman Empire gladiator kind of fan. Mm-hmm. So when I see, like, old-school time movies, like, where the time period that Hercules is set in, whether it's Dwayne Johnson or my favorite wrestler, my favorite actor, my favorite, like, attractive woman, if it's in that kind of move set, it just doesn't get my attention.
Gotcha, yeah.
So I haven't even given it a chance to see it.
Fair enough. It's all subjective to what you like. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
No.
And then we go into some more of his current stuff, Furious 7.
Oh.
Of course, that's infamous. It was delayed. Unfortunate.
Death of Paul Walker.
Passing of Paul Walker. That was where, like, if I said his Fast 6 was cranked up to 15, he was cranked up to like 20 on this one. He was in a cast, and he flexed his arm, and he broke the cast. Come on!
Steals a gun turret from a drone.
Yeah, walking around
to
like
start shooting a helicopter.
Like Arnold could do it in Terminator because he's the fucking Terminator.
He's
a machine.
Cyborg.
He's a machine. This is a dude. He picks up a minigun and he starts walking around and starts blasting things around.
Ben Affleck in Batman costume should be asking The Rock, "Do you bleed?"
Right, yeah.
And then The Rock will say, "Your parents bled."
Oh. his most recent movie, San Andreas.
Been meaning to watch it.
I just checked it out last weekend.
How was it?
Do you like disaster movies?
I love disaster movies.
Then you'll like this movie.
Really?
Yeah. It's. I had low expectations going into this movie.
Paul Giamatti's in this, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Once I saw him, he was like, I started paying attention. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Actually, the chick that plays his daughter in the movie, Alexandra Daddario, she has some assets in the movie that is very distracting to watch. Okay. Journey 3. I never saw
it. Which, for layman's terms, it's a sequel to Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yeah.
The first one, again, like G.I. Joe, the first one didn't have The Rock in it. The second one did, and obviously it made money, and now because
and
of just, that, they
made it. Those movies, the Journey movies, first had Brendan Fraser in it. We talked about him in another episode. And then the second one, more of a sequel to a bad movie. It reeked of the summer movies, family, kids, 3D gimmicks, and things like that. And I just... it didn't appeal to me, so I'm not going to check out this next one. Now, he was, I think this was announced last year, I think, he's actually signed on to play Shazam.
I'm sorry,
Black Adam. In Shazam. And I'm kind of curious about that one. I'm optimistically hesitant on that one. I'm going to see, kind of wait to see what's going to happen with that. Because I think, again, going back to what he can do, you know, he's shown over the course that he can go. You know, you give him a role, he's going to do it.
I think the worry there isn't so much The Rock playing the character, it's how DC handles it.
Yeah. Because
they, just like Marvel in the beginning, had a kind of loose track record with like Punisher and Elektra and Daredevil and stuff like that. DC's had a couple of missteps too. And their missteps have been most recent, more recent. So now with Dawn of Justice and... the build up to that, I think that's where if they start putting a couple of feet forward in the right direction, then people will start getting more and more optimistic about Shazam in general.
You know, that a lot of criticism, what you're saying about those movies, especially Man of Steel, all the destruction, like he saved the city, what's left of it.
Yeah. that's like the origin story of Rampage.
Exactly, yeah. It all ties it together, yeah. But what I was thinking was, that final scene in Metropolis when he's just like they're just going through buildings and things like that. That'd be awesome to see Shazam versus Black Adam in that scene, because that way it's not Superman destroying Metropolis. Yeah. It's just, you know, a couple of the characters. So I think it would have less slack on it, but I think that'd be a really good fight scene to see.
The standards for Superman are so high because it's Superman as opposed to Shazam that can get away with.
Right, stuff like that. It's you're not expecting to see Superman destroy a whole city just to save it.
Yeah.
But we can go off on a whole other. That's a whole other episode.
That's our teaser for an upcoming episode that we have in plan.
There you go.
Yeah.
but I think that's it. Oh, I know recently, more recently, he's The Rock has gone back to more some TV roles as well, too. Mm-hmm. He likes to do some hosting gigs every once in a while. He hosted The Hero on TNT, where he was like. Trying to get people to like overcome their fears and things like that. You know, I think I caught like an episode or two of that, but reality TV for me, it's
As soon as you say reality television, you know there's going to be a heavy dose of fake.
Yeah. He's also more recently done a Wake Up Call. Have you checked that one out?
Not yet, no.
There's a new show on HBO called Ballers.
Got over 2 million views on the first episode. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have HBO right now, but I was going to check it out just because The Rock on HBO.
Yeah.
That could be good. So definitely, I'm curious about that one. And at first, when I heard of Ballers, I was thinking that was going to be like another reality show because that's what I'm used to hearing him doing when it comes to TV. Yeah. But this is actually like a drama. It's like a TV show. Like, oh, wow, okay.
Ex-football player now turned agent.
Yeah. Like, he's trying to be the next Ari Gold, pretty much. Or, and, you know, he's overcoming pain, addiction, things like that. So, and it's on HBO, so you know it's going to be dark.
And you know it's going to be loose on the language.
Yeah.
And the violence. And the sex.
Yes. Hopefully the female.
Yeah.
So
not that we condone the opposite. It's just preference.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much an overall look at Dwayne Johnson, the actor, you know, The Rock, you know. So is there, let me ask you this. We talked about a lot of his movies and things like that. Do you have a personal favorite of The Rock?
Personal favorites, I would have to say Walking Tall.
Okay.
Walking Tall is a personal favorite of mine. The villain in that movie, I hadn't seen him in a movie for a while, and it felt like everything. It's the cast, Johnny Knoxville, the guy that plays the villain, the female interest of Dwayne Johnson. On the surface, when I first saw it, it looked like it wasn't going to work. And I watched the movie, I was like, wow.
This works.
This is really good.
Yeah.
And that feeling that I get when I think about it, that feeling of the surprise I felt when the movie was over and people were leaving the theater and I still sat there because I was like, fuck, I did not expect this. That, I think for me, personal favorite, it'd be Walking Tall.
Wow. If you didn't say Walking Tall, I was going to say Walking Tall. But, you know, just for the sake of, you know, just different opinions here, yeah. As far as him as a leading man, not like a bit player or an enhancement for the lead or whatever, for his own starring role, Snitch.
Really?
Him playing that down-to-earth character, you know.
Easily relatable.
Yeah. Yeah, trying to save his son.
Yeah.
Doing whatever he can to save his son. And it wasn't over the top like Hobbs in the Furious movies. And the whole movie works. You got John Bernthal being freaking John Bernthal.
And him getting suckered in, but being drawn back into the life that he was trying to get rid of. You know, that aspect also kind of like hit home watching the movies. Like, man, it took that much for The Rock, for Dwayne Johnson in that movie to get his son back, that he's willing to risk another person's well-being and their families just for the sake of him getting his own son.
Right.
You know, I was like, wow, it kind of tests the theory that if you were in his shoes,
what would you do?
How many people would you involve just to get what you, I don't know if want's the right word, or to make something right.
Yeah.
How many other people would you involve, or how many people would you put in danger just so for you to get what you think is right?
Yeah,
that's a strong message.
What do you think is the funniest role he's had? Most humorous.
Humorous?
Because in that time frame that he was doing comedies, dude, he was doing pretty good, pretty good stuff there.
Watching The Rock as half scorpion gets the most laughs out of me.
Okay, the most intentional funniest.
You're gonna hate me for it, dude. There's some stupid stuff in the game plan that I actually thought was funny.
You didn't say Tooth Fairy, so you're okay.
Yeah. Game plan was that. Tooth Fairy was stretching it a bit. Game plan was more of something I can believe. You know, it had real life situations as opposed to Doc being a tooth fairy. You
right.
Know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so and there were some funny moments in there that I laughed and I turned around to make sure nobody saw me laugh and I just like shut up, you know, which I should do more of, you know, shut up. But in that instance,
that'd be nice.
Yeah. I'd say the game plan.
Man, for me, it's a toss up between Twinkle Twinkle Baby or Reno 911.
So 5 minutes worth of The Rock on a movie is his funniest. There's some decent humor in the rundown that you added up. It's up there. But Reno bit. God.
Yeah, the Reno was only like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Be Cool. I kind of want to gravitate more towards Be Cool because he was an actual character in the movie.
Yeah.
Where Reno 911 was an uncredited role. You know, just one little scene, but man.
Yeah. I get you.
That was some funny shit. I mean, is there anything else that you wanted to mention about them?
I'm going to just put you on the hot seat because I don't know if I don't know the answer to this. Wasn't he supposed to do another video game adaptation of Spy Hunter?
He was. He was signed up for it, and Spy Hunter was actually on one of the video game Spy Hunters, he was doing voice acting for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was called Spy Hunter Nowhere to Run. So if you pull up like a box art cover, that whatever, you're gonna see like his face on the cover and whatever. So I think the rumors were it was gonna be a
live
movie.
Action.
Yeah, a live action movie, but it was just he was doing voice work for a video game.
Well, if you want to speak of video games and stuff that you like as a kid and voice work, then you have to bring up The Rock as Cliff Jumper in the first in the introductory episode of Transformers Prime.
Yeah, that was a shock when I watched that episode. I was like, wait, I know that voice.
And you didn't know it until after the episode was over or later on. I think I told you because you didn't know who it was.
No, I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
It must have been somebody else.
Yeah.
I think it was my nephew that he saw it with me. He's like, that voice sounds familiar. He's like, no, it doesn't. Just messing with him. It's but yeah,
dude. As soon as I heard, it's like, oh shit, it's The Rock.
Cliff Jumper's got a little bar with horns on the front,
like a Brahma bull.
Yeah, right. What else could it be? You know, and just him and Transformers. I never thought those two worlds would collide. But for that one episode, man, I wish it was reoccurring. You know, because that character in flashbacks showed up in a couple of more episodes, and I was hoping to hear more of him as opposed to whoever it was that was doing it.
He also, there was another movie that came out during the family era, Planet 51. It was a CGI movie. He did a voice. It says starring Dwayne Johnson, but it was because of his voice. You know? Yeah.
I think we got all the bases covered.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're finished up. Oh, actually, a little small correction. There was going to be a Spy Hunter movie, but that was stuck in developmental hell, pretty much. And Dwayne Johnson's no longer assigned to the movie, so attached to it. So, yeah, don't be waiting for that movie anytime soon.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, but anyway, I think that pretty much sums up this episode. Any last thoughts or anything? Or?
Can't wait to see what comes out next.
Yeah, I think by this point, I think he is solidified as a movie star, as a celebrity. It seems like he can do no wrong. Like anytime he's in the news line, in headlines or anything like that, he's doing something good, you know. So I mean, it's just good to see where we saw him grow up through, you know, go through the ages, and we see him where he's at now. It's kind of cool to see the evolution of The Rock.
Yeah,
you know. So I think going forward, I think he's proved himself as a movie star. And going forward, I mean, you say the Dwayne Johnson is going to be in the movie.
Yeah.
You're going to watch it, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with that being said, before we wrap things up, if you haven't done so already, go check us out on iTunes. Give us a rate and review. Subscribe to us. Help us out on there. Also, in the Stitcher Radio app, give us a thumbs up. Like us on there as well. Subscribe to us. You can check out all our episodes at popculturerewind.podbean.com. Also, follow us through social media, facebook.com/popculturerewind, and also on the Twitter machine at popculturerwnd.
Nah.
Did I do it? Go. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, I've actually been using Twitter a lot lately. Can you
that?
Yeah, I'm trying to do stuff. Man, it's weird.
Responsibilities and priorities and such.
Yeah, Renegades. So, with all that being said, thanks everyone for tuning in to another episode. And until next time, always remember to pop your culture.
You know, The Rock's gonna tell you a little story. You ain't gonna believe it, but he's gonna tell you anyway. It's tough to be The Rock. No, shut your mouth. No. It really is. Even though The Rock is the most electrifying man in all of showbiz. You see, when The Rock gets too much of the fame and all the bright lights, he likes to kick back and have a slice of that unadulterated delight.
Welcome to Rick's Bakery. Can I help? Wait a minute. Aren't you the famous Rock?
Yeah, The Rock, the people's champ in the house. What's happening, Slick?
Hey, how you doing, guy? Listen, you got to take a picture before you leave, guy.
Whoa. The Rock don't want to take pictures. The Rock just wants a piece of pie. You got any of that in this bakery?
I got every kind of pie you can think of. I got strawberry pie, blueberry pie, apple pie.
What? No. Whoa. Actually, Slick, it doesn't matter what type of pie you have. Let The Rock tell you a little story about pie.
Driving down south, though quickly aroused, when my car caught a flat near this old farmhouse. I hope somebody's home, taking a chance at it. Knocked on the door, and this fine chick answered.
You're The Rock!
Can I use your phone?
I'm thinking. Sure, if you pass some of this pie, I'm thinking.
Daisy Duke shorts on 5 foot stood, said sure, what the heck, I mean it did smell good.
So when she called Rock in the kitchen towards the vapor,
there's a grandmother, aunt, and a Chinese neighbor. Oh, The Rock is going to tell you again. See, it's tough to be The Rock.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, The Rock knows. That might sound crass.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and by the way, all you jabronis in the locker room, you can all come kiss The Rock's ass. Because you know, after The Rock lays a smackdown on some big, fat, ugly hermaphrodite, The Rock needs a little distraction, and a slice sounds just right.
The Rock said,
thanks, ladies,
and more kind words. Grandmother said,
be polite, eat mine first. So I sat down, tried her, she looked quite glad. Had a strange taste of mold, but it wasn't so bad.
That's right.
The Rock, having pie in the country, devoured hers, her aunts, and Stella was hungry.
That's all Rock said.
Bored and reading the papers, till finally a plate of the next door neighbors. Gulped it down fast, cause it really did please.
I mean, it tasted so good, Rock was talking Chinese.
King Bong, Bing Bong, Bing that good.
Oh, that's the pie you was talking about.
Oh yeah, The Rock knows the millions can smell it now. It's tough to be The Rock. No, it really is. Because you all know The Rock is the most electrifying man in all of showbiz. You see, when The Rock gets too much of the fame and all the bright lights, he loves to kick back and have a slice. No. The Rock is gonna eat the whole damn